Well, I got a question for y'all. I want to know who in this room likes camping. Raise your hand if you like to camp. Now, here's the thing. I recognize, all right, hands down, I recognize that there are differences of opinion about camping. I get that. See, some people are like, in camping, you are out in nature. It is awesome. Other people are like, in camping, you're out in nature. It's awful. Right? I mean, some people are kind of like, why would I want to go camping? In camping, you got bugs, you got bees, you got bears. No, thank you. Right? So I know some people don't like to camp, but I want to intro by talking about camping. In fact, whether or not you've ever been camping, I want to imagine, what if you had no choice? What if, as of today, we're like, hey guys, it's going to be an all church camping trip. No ifs, ands, or buts. You got to come. All right. Some of y'all cheering. Some of y'all are like, yeah, I might have to go to a different church. All right, now I want you to imagine that all of us were camping, and again, you had no choice. In fact, it wasn't just all of us, it was every single person you've ever met. You're going camping together. Not only are you camping, but you're camping like out in the wilderness. Camping in the wilderness where you don't have ready water that's all filtered and everything. You don't have food that you can just kind of take whenever. Like, this is kind of stressful, guys. Not only that, but in the wilderness, there are bad people out there who might want to come and hurt us. Well, that's not good. In fact, in the wilderness, there are bad animals out there that might want to come and hurt us because the animals are hungry. All right, so this is a rough kind of, you know, image for you to picture. But here's the truth, guys. Here's the truth. This will maybe help you to appreciate what the Bible says, because the Israelites had to do this in the story of Exodus. Now, on the screen behind me, you'll see one artist's depiction of what it might have looked like for all the Israelites to be camping. And again, there's parts of camping that are super fun, right? Parts of camping might be super fun, but there's other parts that are kind of rough, right? Can you imagine? Here's another picture. Imagine a night sitting around the campfire, and you got to get all the people around you. And again, at night, things get a little bit scary, right? And you're wondering what's out there. Maybe you hear some wolves howling in the distance. You're like, uh-oh. How far away are those wolves? All right? This is what Israel had to do. And they did it not just for a day, not just for a week, not just for months, but they did it for years, y'all. Now, at this point in the story, the Israelites have already been camping for 3 months. 3 months, y'all. Right? I don't know if you can remember what you were doing 3 months ago. That's a long time. They've been camping for 3 months. And then finally, in the story that we're going to read today, that Bethany just read, we see that the Israelites come to the Mount Sinai. All right, so read the verse along with me as you see this artist's picture of what this would look like. Verse 18 of Exodus 20. Now, when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. Okay, so what's happening here? Why is the mountain smoking? Why is the mountain on fire? Here's why. Because God came down to the Israelites in his power and glory on the mountain. And so God is always depicted in Scripture as a God of power, right? He's a God of such great power. And so when he comes down to the mountain, you see his power through the smoke. You see his power through the thunder. You see his power through the lightning. And it says that they even heard a trumpet blast. This is intense, y'all. Now, if you've been paying attention, if you've been joining us, if you've been reading through the book of Exodus, you'll realize that this is not the first time we see the power of God in the story. In fact, the story began when Moses was in the wilderness and he met God in the burning bush. The power of God on display. When Moses, in the middle of nowhere, sees this bush on fire and the voice of the Lord is booming out to him. We see the power of God in the burning bush. We see the power of God as the seas are parted. The Red Sea is parted. And so God in his power divides the waters and lets his people go through. Our God is a powerful God. Like the song we just sang, he's an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. Not just in the burning bush, not just in the parting of the Red Sea, but also the Bible says that God was present in a pillar of fire and cloud. Can you imagine being in the wilderness? Imagine you were camping. You're one of those people in the tents. And every night, you look up and you see this massive pillar of fire. And then we go back to where we started in Exodus 20:18. Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, this was what they encountered. Now here's a question. Why do you think God showed his power in this way? Why was it so important for God to show the Israelites his power? Well, let me remind you of something. Remember where the Israelites were for hundreds of years? Anybody want to tell us what was the really bad nation where the Israelites were? Yeah, where were they? Egypt, very good. They were in Egypt, right? Now, if you've read the story of the Israelites in Egypt, you know that the Egyptians, were they a good people or a bad people? Anybody? They were a bad people. They were a bad people, right? They were mean. They were wicked. They hurt people. They were bad guys in the story. But here's the thing. The Egyptians were very powerful. In fact, if you were an Israelite living in Egypt, you would have thought that the Egyptians were the most powerful thing in the universe. Because every day they woke up to this powerful nation of Israel hurting people. And so if you were an Israelite for hundreds of years, you would have thought that the Egyptians are the most powerful. And so God needed to tell the Israelites something that was so important. He was the most powerful person. He was the most powerful character in the story. Not the Egyptians. He wants the Israelites, and y'all, he wants us to know. Listen to this. He wants us to know this today. That God is powerful and he is in control. Because here's the thing. For the Israelites, just making sure you're paying attention, who were the people that were so mean to the Israelites? Who were they? Anybody? Egyptians. That's right. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have this horrible nation of Egypt oppressing me every day. That's not a part of my life, right? I don't live near Egypt, and it's a totally different type of people that were living at that time back then, all right? So that's not my problem. The Egyptians are not my problem, but do you think I have other problems? Yes, I do. And do you have other problems? Yes, you do. All right? So we need to be reminded, just like God reminded the Israelites, we need to be reminded by God that he is more powerful than any of our problems. All right, here's the message, all right? And I'm going to tell you what the message is, and I'm going to ask you to repeat it. All right, here's the message. God is more powerful than your problems. All right, say it with me. God is more powerful than my problems. Amen. He is. All right. Now, I want you to ask yourself this question. Imagine that you are the Israelites at this mountain where there is thunder and there is lightning and the trumpet blast, and you're seeing this crazy scene. Here's the question. How would you have felt if you were seeing this? I want you to imagine that you're one of those people in the crowd, in the picture. How are you feeling right now? Scared. I heard scared. Yes. Afraid. A little bit like, I don't know what's going on, right? Well, guess what? That's exactly how the Israelites felt too. The Bible tells us that the Israelites were afraid. It says in verse 18, the people were afraid and they trembled. You ever been so scared that your body's like shaking? That's how the Israelites were. They were seeing this huge sight and they were terrified. They were afraid and they trembled. And it says that they stood far off. You know, if there's something scary that you're afraid of, do you want to get really close to it or you want to get far away? Far away, right? So they were scared, they were trembling, and it says they stood far off. And they made Moses promise. Said, Moses, you speak to God, but don't let us speak to, or God speak to us, or we will die. They were terrified. Now, Moses is their leader, right? And the leader's job is to calm the people down when they're afraid, right? Right? What's the leader's job to do when people are afraid? Calm them down, all right? So the problem is that Moses' answer to the people, it's kind of confusing, right? The people are terrified, they're shaking, and they're going away from God. But here's what he says in verse 20. Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin." Do you see how that's confusing? Moses says, don't be afraid, for God did this so that you'd be afraid. That doesn't make sense. Moses, which is it? Are we supposed to fear God or not? Were the Israelites supposed to fear God or not? What is going on here? Well, let me tell you something. There are two different types of fear. There are two different types of fear. First of all, there is a scary kind of fear, right? Of a bad guy, of a monster, of someone or something that might hurt you. There is a scary type of fear. But there's also a comforting type of fear, of a powerful good guy, of someone who is powerful but is coming to help you. Here's the thing. God doesn't want us to have the scary type of fear when we think of him, like we would be afraid of a bad guy. God wants us to have the comforting type of fear. The Bible tells us that we are to have a comforting type of fear of God. And sometimes we call this comforting type of fear, what's the word? You see it behind me. What is it? It's called respect. Respect. God wants us to have a healthy respect for God. And so here's the truth, y'all. And kids, I want you to think about this. I don't know if I'm sure that at some point your parents or an uncle or an aunt or grandparent or a teacher has said, you need to respect me. Someone who is important or powerful, someone who has authority over you, parents, grandparents, teachers, we are called in most cases to respect them. Now, what does respect mean? Respect means that we treat them with kindness. We obey. We watch our attitudes around them, right? That's what respect means. And y'all, here's the lesson from the Bible. Here's the lesson from this story. Because of who God is, he teaches us to respect him. Another way of saying this is you're not supposed to fear God as your enemy because he's not your enemy. You are supposed to respect him as your good king. That is what Moses is talking about to the people. Don't be afraid thinking that God is your enemy because he's not. But be afraid, the healthy, the comforting type of fear. Respect him because he is your powerful, good king, and he is holy. He is holy. There's one final lesson that we need to learn from this passage. The lesson is this. Jesus died so that God could be our good king. Now, if you were paying attention, you're like, wait a second. Jesus isn't in the story anywhere. What am I talking about Jesus here? Well, here's the thing. What Moses does in this story reminds us a lot of Jesus. I don't know, kids, if you've ever like met someone who reminds you of someone else, right? Or maybe you've seen a movie that reminded you of something else, right? Or you've heard something that reminded you of something else, right? In this story, what Moses does is the exact kind of thing that Jesus does. Because here's the thing. I mean, look at that picture, right? You see this mountain, and the mountain's on fire. The mountain's smoking. There's thunder and lightning. And the question is, someone's got to go talk to God. Look at that picture. How many of y'all are volunteering? Be honest. I wouldn't. It's terrifying. I don't want to get up there. I'm going to die. In fact, here's the problem. The problem is that God actually tells his people, if you come up to my holy mountain and you're not holy, you're going to die. But that's a problem, right? Because the people want to hear from God. The people want to be with God. The people want to love God, but they can't. And so they need somebody to do it for them. So Moses does what the people can't do. God allows Moses to go up to the mountain and face the danger and to hear from God. And then he comes back down off the mountain and he tells them about who God is, his love, his power, and his holiness. Here's the thing. We're in that story. You look at that picture. You look at that picture. In your mind, I want you to imagine you are actually one of those people in the crowd. And here's the thing, while it wasn't Moses who went up there for us, it was Jesus. Because you remember a story where Jesus is climbing up a mountain? Do you remember that story? And he's carrying something on his back. Does anybody know what he's carrying? What's he carrying? The cross. Very good, Judy. He's carrying the cross. In the story, Jesus goes up to the mountain. He's carrying the cross because, here's the thing, because his people, you and me, we really wanted to be with God. But we couldn't because we weren't holy. And so Jesus had access. He went up there to the cross. He went up to the mountain and he died on the cross so that you and I can be with God. And so all of your sins could be forgiven. This is the good news. That we have a God who loves us so much that he's willing to send his son Jesus to die for us so that we can be with him. Let's pray.